Our gospel lesson today from the lectionary is Mark chapter 6 at verse 30. And if I were just going to follow what is in the lectionary, I'd be leaving out the miracle, which is in the middle here. And next week, John 6 will be focused on that miracle. But I feel like we have to read the miracle too, or else the sense of it really isn't there. So our focus is going to be on the first and last part of the reading today, Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the 4th watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. And they cried out, because they all saw him, were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Thus far, the reading from God's holy word. I invite you to turn back in the scriptures to Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. This will be the text for the sermon today. Title of the sermon is "A Hard Heart is a Big Problem for the Lord's Disciple." Let's pray. Lord God, we do pray that Jesus would be the shepherd that would receive us, that would teach us. We ask, Lord, today that we would be able to have the assurance that we're one of the people that have been bought with his blood, one of the people that he has cleansed by his grace. And Lord, help us then to walk in his steps today. And Lord, help us to learn, help us to grow. We ask, Lord, that the preaching would be faithful, that you would be our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last couple weeks, we've been in Mark chapter 6, where 2 weeks ago the disciples were sent out on a preaching ministry. They went out two by two, the 12 of them were sent out to the villages, and they had such a big response that King Herod last week, and we also went through the execution of John the Baptist, King Herod, with his guilty conscience, thought, well, John the Baptist has risen from the dead. And then we start this week at verse 30, where the apostles now come and they gather around Jesus. They tell him what they had done. There's sort of a debriefing from their missionary work. And we think about their preaching. What was their preaching about? Their preaching, as we looked at 2 weeks ago, was a call to repentance. When you agree with God and you turn from sin, you turn to follow the Lord. And we also have a preaching of the King, of the Christ, who is to come. And the disciples knew this. They knew the Christ had come. And so they were, where they were preaching about the King, of King Jesus and the kingdom of God. And they had a very fruitful ministry. And the result of it was there was a great movement of people. The people were coming to where Jesus was, to where the disciples were. And it was a big response. In the 1980s, I had an opportunity to go to Jamaica for a couple of weeks, and I was not at the Sandals Resort. I was in the middle of the island at a place not far from Mandeville, and it was a place where there was missionaries teaching and teaching at a school, and I had an invitation to go there and teach a class. And the missionary said, I'd like you to be at this church for a Bible study on Saturday when I first arrived. And the missionary's wife said, I'll drop you off and I'll pick you up, but I want you to be ready in 2 hours. When I come back, I want you ready. Found her to be a rather impatient, kind of a little bit bossy, but I was going to comply with that. And as I got there to teach the class, 2 hours went by like you can't believe. And I had to walk to the door, and I had to just almost kind of push away from these people because they wanted to learn and they wanted to grow. And so here is the response of the disciples. People are coming now to where Jesus is. So many people were coming and going in verse 31 that the disciples did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So it's time for a little mini vacation. Now, I grew up in a farming area, and the mentality there was that the only people that work are farmers. It'd be very hard to realize, you know, that preachers could get tired, you know, but that's what happened here. Preachers got tired, and Jesus recognized that. They were so oppressed that they didn't even have a chance to eat. And the Lord said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So he was aware of their needs. And what did they do? They left in a boat. And we see them then on the Sea of Galilee, at sort of the top part of the lake, going across the lake. But people saw them. And so they decided to walk around the lake. They had an understanding of where they were headed. And so they went around, and they got there ahead of them. So that's how that vacation went. A large number of people ran around the lake, and they got to the destination ahead of them. That would be like if I were going to leave for vacation. I'm in the car, and all of a sudden, oh no, you can't leave. You got to stay. And, well, that happens sometimes. Sometimes it's necessary. But we've all probably had that that experience where we were looking for a vacation and then it got taken away from us. My father, who is a wonderful father, this happens sometimes with him. You know, we were going to go fishing. It was a beautiful fishing day. And then all of a sudden something happened and we couldn't leave the farm. You know, it's just, Well, here's what happened to the disciples. And the people, they're trying to get away. And here are all the people come. And I can see myself in a boat going, oh, no, you know, go away. But there's Jesus. He landed and saw this large crowd. And what was his response? It wasn't go away. It was like he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so we see this about Jesus. He reveals himself as a compassionate shepherd. You know, he's caring about his disciples. And I'm kind of wondering about this. You know, this was his plan. And now they're not going to get any rest. It must be a spiritual rest. It must be a rest of a different nature. But he sees this large crowd and he has compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. When God pictures us as sheep, that is not a very complimentary picture. Because sheep are very helpless. And sheep, I think, I've not worked with them a lot, but I think they're kind of stupid. And they're very, you know, exposed to predators. They need somebody to care for them. And that's God's metaphor of his people that runs through Scripture, through the Psalms, through the Old Testament at various points. And when Jesus sees these people, he has compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed somebody to teach them. You know, they were hungry for the Word of God. And we don't know what day this was. It wasn't a Sabbath day, that's for sure. You know, it was a Tuesday or a Thursday, and they were working, and they had responsibilities. But forget that. They're going to go find Jesus. And they were like sheep without a shepherd. And who's the shepherd? Well, the shepherd is Jesus. That's the shepherd we need. Ultimately, it is the Lord Jesus. We have to follow his guidance, okay? So how is Jesus going to be how is Jesus going to do this? Well, we'll find out. But he, in terms of his response, he is compassionate. And we think about that, it's a great blessing to us, isn't it? That, you know, we want people when in our time of need, and we can look back, most of us can look back, and sometime we were really needy, and somebody had compassion on us. And we can think about these different times where people showed compassion. But that's God every day. And that's a huge blessing that he's like that for us. He's compassionate. But it's also a challenge. Because in Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, here's what we must do. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So today, as you came here, you notice I was not wearing a suit. The church I was at before has no air conditioning. I didn't have time to change and look better for you. But you can see it. You can see I'm not wearing a suit. Well, the idea here is you're to have compassion so much part of your life that when people are around you, they see it. They know you're a compassionate person because you're a Christian. And that's who Jesus was. He's that gives us that guidance for life. That's our challenge, that we'll put on compassion. And how did he show himself to be a shepherd? Well, he taught the crowd. He began to teach the crowd of people. They were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. That's what we need. We need to know what the Lord says. And there are many people today, you know, they're teaching on the television, your best life now, and there are churches that are looking at the Bible and say, oh, I don't know if God means that for our time. Well, yes, he does. He means it for all time. And so we don't go to the Bible and say, okay, we're going to follow something else, because then we'll be like sheep without a shepherd. But if we listen to Jesus, we're going to follow his word. And at the end of the day, the disciples say, hey, it's getting late. We have to send these people away now so that they can find something to eat. And Jesus said, well, we can't do that. You give them something to eat. And they say the same thing. Well, we would say, if we were told that we had to feed 5,000 people, we'd say, okay, 5,000 times $6, $8? It's a lot of money, right? $30,000, $40,000? Is that what you want? And Jesus said, go and find out what we have. And so they find that there are 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fish. I think about that from days when we had a lunch bucket. You know, we go to work in the field, or we would have it for school. And I'm thinking about this little boy with his five little loaves, and you know, packed up and something, and the 2 sardines. What that must have looked like when it came to Jesus, you know, and he's gonna make something of it. But taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. And we even know the prayer of the day that is where Jesus thanked God for bringing forth bread from the earth. And so he gave to his disciples, set before the people, and the 2 fish. And they all ate and were satisfied. There's no way you can get around this miracle thinking, oh, well, they all passed the food. And they said, no, thank you, save it for somebody else. No, they all ate and they were satisfied. And when they finished, there were 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that they picked up. Now, this is the only miracle that's mentioned in all 4 Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke often have overlapping material, but John has this as well. In fact, next week we go to John's Gospel to really focus on the miracle. But here, this is a picture of Jesus, a good shepherd, who feeds his listeners. And how many people were there? Well, there's 5,000 people there. But Matthew 14 tells us that was just the men. There was also women and children. The assumption being that the men sat in one part, women and children sat in the other part. And he fed a lot of people that day. So we have Jesus challenging his disciples to give them food. And when that happens to us, when we're challenged to take part in ministry and we don't have the resources, what should we do? Well, we should look to Christ, who took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and gave thanks to God and multiplied the food so that they all ate and were satisfied. That's the summary. 12 basketfuls of leftovers. That's what God can do. And so when we are in that shape, when we're in that situation, that we would look to God, that we would look to Christ. After this happened, John tells us they were going to make him king, and Jesus put his disciples in the boat and told them to go the other side, back to where they were, going ahead of them to Bethsaida. He dismissed the crowd, and he went up on the mountainside to pray. And then evening came, and the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He was praying, and he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. So we have another miracle, a second miracle. And we have our Lord praying on the mountain. His disciples are on the lake in a situation where there's a lot of wind. And they're not making any headway. They're straining at the oars. And so he goes out to them in the 4th watch of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, walking on the lake. Now in the Psalms, Psalm 77 and Job chapter 9, we have this picture of God, that he alone stretches out to heaven and he treads on the waves of the sea. So it's in the Bible, it's God that walks on the water. And we have a strange deliverance here where Jesus goes out to the disciples. He's not with them in the boat like previous time, asleep. He's on the mountainside praying. He sees them. He walks out on the water. And they were fishermen. This is where they lived and worked. And he was about to pass them by, and they saw him walking in the lake. They thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. So they saw something that to them terrified them to the point where they cried out. And you'd be pretty scared to do that. And this is something they had never seen and never would again. But our Lord came to them and he spoke to them and he said, now the NIV translates, take courage. And what you're supposed to do as a translator, you're supposed to go to the original, if in the Old Testament it'd be Hebrew and the New Testament is Greek, and you go to the original and you say, okay, what does this word mean and how can I bring it into my language? Now, I never tell anybody, at least to my knowledge, I've never said anybody that's going through a hard time to take courage. I don't know, that's just not phraseology I use. In the King James, they had the translation, be of good cheer, which I think I would translate today, cheer up. That's what we'd say, right? Cheer up. You know, you're terrified, be of good cheer. And don't be afraid, because it's I'm with you. Don't be afraid. And the disciples were completely amazed. He climbed into the boat with them. Previously, the other storm, he was asleep in the boat. He got up, he rebuked the waves, the wind. He said, called for peace, and the nature responded. But here, he didn't even say a word. He climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. For they had not understood about the loaves, their hearts were hardened. Why were they amazed? Why did they have this lack of understanding? It was due to their hard hearts. I'm amazed by that, because here are people that just came back from a preaching ministry. They're preachers. They had given everything. They had a great response. They come to Jesus. They're obeying him. And they're with him in this experience of this miracle of feeding the 5,000. And yet, their hearts are hard. That's why they didn't get it. They'd have really understood the miracle of Jesus. They wouldn't have been surprised by him coming out in the water, because they would know that he is God. And this is a problem for all of us at times. And the Bible tells us, if you hear his voice, if you hear God's voice, if God is teaching you, then don't harden your heart. In other words, don't go against it. Don't say, no, I'm not going to do that. A hard heart is often the reason a person doesn't get it. And so we have the disciples here. They don't get it. They didn't realize who he was as they should have. When we have that changed heart by God, we're also required to have a childlike faith. And the arrogance and pride that are so much part of human nature, if we allow that to go on, it's just deadly. And if we refuse the truth, our spiritual growth will be stunted. And we come to times in our life where we just don't know where to turn, and it's pretty dark, and we're to trust Christ. Prayer of Augustine has it just flipped around from what we think logically should be. We want to understand so we can believe. And Augustine says in this prayer, help me to believe so that I can understand. We're called to love God. And the heart is the inner person, you know, as you really are, the person that God sees. Your mind, your will, your feelings, the real you. When God said to Samuel, as he saw the brothers of David, and they looked like fine young men, He said to them, don't consider his appearance or his height, for I rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So I've said this to our session at various times through these last 5 years. In these last 5 years, we've had some real highs and real lows in our church. And, you know, I think, you know, what does the Lord have to do to get our attention? We should be humbled by the blessings we have. Just when I think about my own life, the things that I have now that I didn't have before, the material things that have come through the years. And we often have a sense of entitlement. We look around, we say, well, yeah, but I don't have that much blessing. You know, I need to make these payments and stuff. And we need to think about what Christ has done for us. And the call here is not to think about yourself, your resources, but to think about Christ, who multiplied the loaves and the fishes, who had this amazing miracle of feeding the 5,000. The disciples should have been amazed then, but there's no initial report of amazement. But we see that Christ is more than a prophet. He's God. And he calls us to follow him, to learn and grow and to reject nothing of what he's going to teach us. Following the miracle of the walking on the water, we see this response where people who have problems, often sickness, brought their sick to him wherever he went, in the villages, towns, and countrysides. They placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged to let them touch even the cloak, edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. And so that went for everybody. We see the ministry of compassion continuing on with the miraculous healings. And so we read the Bible, we're called to meditate on these miracles, to realize who Christ is for our life today. And when we know Christ as he reveals himself, as our heart is teachable and humble before him, we're going to need to worship him. It's not going to be like, oh, we have to go to worship. No. We're going to need to worship him. And God's word and the Holy Spirit will keep us from the pitfalls of a hard heart. Let's pray. Lord God, as we think about the privileges we have as a disciple, as we think about the ups and downs of life, we pray, oh God, for those who are going through tough days, that you would show the power of Jesus and display that for us once again. We pray, God, that we would be those who love him and want to serve him and definitely want to worship him. And today, God, we thank you for this time that we can be with your people and be with you. And so help us to reflect on this portion of Scripture and burn it within our hearts that we could be strong in faith. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.